want to give you a pop quiz today. Students love pop quizzes. Do you like to give pop quizzes, Devore, to your students? Kind of keep them on their toes, keep them honest in their study habits. So I want to see how many guesses it's going to take you to figure out who the champion of the day is. The champion of the Bible. I'll start out by giving, I'll give two hints. This champion in the Bible is in the New Testament. And he was called upon to help when the Grecian widows and the Hebrew widows had a dispute over the allocation of the food. Not Barnabas. I'm going to see how many takes it. Not Stephen. Philip. It was Philip. All right, Philip. Philip is the champion for the day. So we're going to talk about Philip today. And the courage challenge that we can learn from the life of Philip is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. So am I bopping up and down and so forth and so on? It's probably in my pocket here. Oh, there goes my pen. To be led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, Philip was one of seven responsible deacons that were chosen along with Stephen. Who said Stephen? All right, someone said Stephen. All right, that was chosen along with Stephen to care for the widows after a complaint was registered in the allocation of the food. See, even the New Testament believers had disputes from time to time. These seven deacons were chosen for their responsibility and for their being full of the Spirit and wisdom. Because of these faithful seven responsible servants, God's kingdom was able to advance. After Stephen boldly proclaimed the word of truth, the word of Jesus Christ, and he was martyred, a great persecution broke out against the church. We're in Acts chapter 8 now. And as Christians scattered because of the persecution, a very interesting thing occurred. God's word also spread. The gospel of Jesus Christ spread amidst the persecution. As we've seen throughout history, Stephen's martyrdom actually caused God's kingdom to advance. History has taught us that when persecution comes against the church of Jesus Christ, Christians' hearts grow stronger, their faith in Christ gets firmer, and their love for Christ grows deeper. When we are put in a place where we absolutely need God, when we have to cry out for God just for our daily life, we get into that place where we have experienced Christ helping us. Truly helping us, truly coming by our side and being there for our lives, for our marriages, for our children, for our young people. When you've seen that happen in your life where you absolutely need God and He comes through for you, you are not going to deny Him in the face of persecution because you love Him and you see what He's done in your life. That's the challenge of the Christian life. Do you need Christ? Do you need Him so much that you've got to have Him? It's in a place where, in a way, you could feel it's like a place of jeopardy. It's a place of being in a risky place, a place where, things are happening all around you, and you've got to have Jesus Christ. You need Him. But then when you get away from God, you don't have Him. And so you got to get back to God. Are you in that place where you need Jesus Christ? Well, when we need Jesus Christ and we see Christ come through for us and answer the cry of our heart, our love for Him grows stronger and stronger and stronger. Of course, those that are being persecuted for their faith, they need Christ. It's been happening in our world, even as of late. And we've heard great stories of families and children even standing firm for Jesus Christ, even amidst persecution. And so this is exactly what happened in the early church as the believers were persecuted. As disciples of Christ scattered everywhere, the good news of the gospel also spread. Philip, one of those seven responsible deacons, was among those who were being scattered. In the process, Philip became an evangelist who was led by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. When Philip preached Christ to a Samaritan city, the people listened attentively to him because of his preaching and miracles. In fact, many people were healed through his ministry. Philip's life teaches us the principle that those who are faithful in the smaller things will be given larger responsibilities for God's kingdom. In Matthew 25:21, it says, "If you are faithful in the small things, you will be given larger things in my kingdom," Jesus said. While Philip demonstrated his faithfulness waiting on tables and serving the widows, God prepared him for a larger task for his kingdom. This is an important principle in our lives as well. Whatever your parents, for the children here, whatever your teachers, whatever your coaches, your employers, your pastors give you to do, I encourage you to do it faithfully, do it wholeheartedly, and do it cheerfully. As you do so, the Lord will see your attitude, and He will promote you. Who is the one person who sees all things? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember having a job mowing grass, all right? And, you know, I had this sense, okay, I had to be honest. I had to put in a good day's work and an honest day's work. And I would see some of my co-laborers, you know, maybe going on the side and going underneath the tree and smoking a cigarette and so forth. And then all of a sudden the foreman would come around with his truck and they'd all of a sudden get busy and, you know, start mowing the grass busy and so forth. All right. Because the foreman couldn't see them at all times. But who is the one person who sees at all times? It is God. There is a principle of life. Promotion is from the Lord. I have seen this principle operate in my life. As I was faithful in one area, such as my employment, God would promote me in the church. As I was faithful in the church, God also helped me to grow in taking responsibility in my work field. God sees your faithfulness in whatever you do. As you are faithful in one area, He might promote you in a different area. He might not promote you in the area that you're being faithful in. All right, maybe the guy there, your employer or supervisor, all right, is acting like he's not noticing. But God notices, and God might promote you in another area. He sees us when no one else sees us. Remember this principle. Promotion is from the Lord who sees all things. God notices your work. God notices your faithfulness even when others may not. As you are faithful in the little things, He will give you larger and larger responsibilities for His kingdom. Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, as Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of the gospel, there was great joy in that city. However, in Samaria, there was a man named Simon. Simon was enthralled by Philip's signs and miracles. Simon was a man who practiced sorcery. Sorcery is the use of evil to practice magic arts. And for the young people here, you want to have your guard up and make sure that you do not get involved in evil magic arts. Doing so would open up yourself to the devil and his demons. You want to be sure to follow Christ and not the devices of the enemy, Satan himself. Don't get involved in games and activities such as Dungeons and Dragons, Ouija boards, fortune telling, crystal balls, palm readings, mediums, and horoscopes. Your peers may try to entice you with these types of activities, but my exhortation to you is to stay totally clear of them. Delving into these kinds of activities will open you up to the enemy's plans. If you have involved yourself in any kind of these activities, I encourage you to talk with your parents, talk with your pastor, repent of this sin, and claim the blood of Christ over your life. Then you will be completely free of the work of the enemy. Well, the apostles Peter and John went to Samaria to check on the work of the Lord there. They laid their hands on the Christians there to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, you do not want the power of Satan. You want the power of Jesus Christ. You don't want any kind of evil power. You want the godly power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The believers there had previously been born again. They had been baptized in water. But now they were being baptized in the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. Acts 8:17 explains, "Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." There are three foundational experiences that we all need to embrace. In Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter summarized them. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The first foundational experience that we all need to have is that of becoming born again through repentance and faith in Christ. We're born again by repenting of our sin and turning to the Lord in faith to receive Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 declares that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You want to be sure of your salvation. You want to be sure that you are born again. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You can't have a testimony that says, "Well, I've just always been a Christian," or "I've always been saved. I was saved from the time that I was a baby." No, you weren't. You must be born again. You must be born a second time. The first time we were born of flesh. All right. The second time we were born again of the Spirit. And so you may not know the exact time and day and hour and minute, and that's okay. But I would encourage you, you need to be able to remember the time that you were born again. The time that you came before the Lord and you prayed yourself, you called on the name of the Lord for salvation. The Bible says in Acts 2:21, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The second foundational experience is to be water baptized. Water baptized. When we are baptized in water, we are identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. When we go under the water, that symbolizes Christ's death. When we are under the water, that symbolizes Christ's burial. When we come up out of the water, that symbolizes Christ's resurrection. In addition, when you are water baptized, it's done publicly. You are making a public declaration for others to see that you are a disciple of Christ. You are declaring that I'm going to follow Christ for the rest of my life. Now, it just so happens we have a baptism service coming up, all right, in 2 weeks. So I want to encourage you that if you have never obeyed the Lord in this area, to identify with Christ publicly through being water baptized, I encourage you to do so. Talk with me after church today, all right? Again, you know, I encourage for children and young people somewhere around ages 12, 13, and 14, all right, that it's not just a novelty. All right, but to really make that public declaration before the Lord. For those of us who are older, don't be ashamed. All right, that's the whole point. You're saying, "I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ to share that I am a Christ one. I am a Christian. I am a disciple of Christ." The third foundation experience is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 11:11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit who ask him?" To receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, all we need to do is ask. All we need to do is want it and to ask Him. Often, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit, given through prayer, through the laying on of hands. As a young man, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a Christian retreat. A group of men laid their hands on me as I asked for and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was a men's advance. I encourage all of the teenage young men to come to the men's advance next Saturday to meet us here at 6:30 in the morning, bright and early, and go. Perhaps you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, it was at a men's advance that a group of men came around, and I indicated that I wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they came around me and prayed for me through the laying on of hands, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The difference that I saw after in my life was simply this. I had an overflowing desire to worship the Lord, to worship God. I do not have a great voice. I'm not a worship leader, but I can tell you that I love to worship God. The thing I look forward the most on Sunday morning is coming as a people together to worship God with all of our heart, to come into His presence, to be changed in His presence, to be in awe of His presence, to forget about ourselves. It is the greatest thing. It's better than Christmas morning. It's better than whatever else, to come together to worship God with all of our hearts, forgetting ourselves, everything we have to worship the Lord. That's what life is about. That's what we're created for. I can recall I was working at an ice cream restaurant called Gifford's Ice Cream. And they tried to train me in dipping the ice cream scoops in the cones and so forth. And I didn't do a very good job of that. So I got the job of washing dishes. And I can remember I was washing dishes and busting dishes. And, you know, I had a thing about, you know, I would wash the dishes, but then I'd get my apron all wet. You know, and then I'd have to go into the restaurant and I'd have to get the dishes from the tables because I was busting dishes and so I was looking all wet and so forth and so forth. But as I was washing dishes and getting wet outwardly, I recall this. I was praising the Lord with all of my heart. Inwardly, streams of living water were flowing from me. And I remember that because that was in that time. And I remember just washing dishes and just losing myself and praising God. I guess I lost myself too much and I was getting all wet. All right. Jesus declared in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. You see in the book of Acts that people had come to a salvation experience, a born-again experience. People had come to being water baptized, but they had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a third foundational experience that we all need to have. All right? They came to that understanding and they said, yes, I want more of God. I want His Spirit operating in my life. I want the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in my life. Ever since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I love to worship the Lord. When God empowers you by the Holy Spirit, He infuses you with His love and you receive a great desire to worship and serve Him. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, Paul's talking to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to love and serve the Lord with power, with love, and with self-discipline that maximizes our testimony. Well, back to the story of Philip and Simon. Once Simon saw the apostles giving the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, Simon actually tried to buy this power that was supposed to come through the Holy Spirit with money. What do you think Peter thought about that? Peter was a strong man that has his own testimony of being sifted by the Lord and learning to walk in Christ's strength. Well, Peter dealt directly with that, you can be assured. Peter rebuked Simon, told him that he had no part in this ministry, and called him to repent of his evil. With the leadership of the apostles and the saints being led by the Spirit, the kingdom of God continued to spread. Sometimes as a leader, you are going to be called upon to rebuke one. Sometimes you're going to be called upon to rebuke evil. All right, well, Peter had to call Simon out. As Philip continued to be led by the Holy Spirit, an angel told him to go south on the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Empowered by the Spirit, Philip started out on this trip of some 50 miles. As he was traveling, Philip met an Ethiopian in charge of the Ethiopian queen's treasury. In Acts 8:27, it says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. It's important to understand that Philip, now an evangelist, a successful evangelist, he left an outreach to many people to be led by the Holy Spirit to minister to just one person. And for you too, for me too, we need to be ready to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to minister to people as individuals. Well, the Ethiopian had been reading from the biblical book of Isaiah. Of course, we know that when we read God's word with an open heart, the Holy Spirit has a way of working in our lives. Philip continued to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip was in touch with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was telling him to do this. The Holy Spirit was telling him to do that. Philip was in communication with the Holy Spirit. He listened to the voice of the Lord. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit. Recently, the Lord has been impressing upon me the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit. More important than doing what is perceived by others to do the right thing is that of being led by the Holy Spirit. This quality helps us to be focused on pleasing God rather than pleasing man. In Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul emphasized, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Proverbs 29:25 counsels us, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. In the decisions that we make, we cannot be afraid of what people think of us or swayed by their criticisms. Our focus needs to be on allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us to please God. Otherwise, our decisions will be out of balance and cause more problems. Similarly, the Lord has been impressing upon me that the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life is even more important than having a commitment to excellence. Of course, we should not be mediocre in our lives and in our work. Being committed to excellence in our lives is a good quality. However, more important than being guided by excellence is having that moment by moment, day by day leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in balance. I could have a commitment to excellence and say, you know, this work project, I'm just going to make sure it's the best it can possibly be. And I'm going to, you know, work, and so forth. But then what about my wife? What about my children? All right? I have got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, as to when, okay, this is good for this, and this is good for this. You need to be doing this. You need to be reaching out to this person. It's very, very important that our guiding principle is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, as the Holy Spirit spurred Philip on, Philip was inspired to run. We have another running pastor. And Philip was a fast runner indeed. Acts 8:30 says, then Philip ran up to the chariot. All right, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. What if one of us ran up to a vehicle and saw someone reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" When Philip overheard the Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah, he asked him if he understood its meaning. The Ethiopian asked Philip to explain the passage to him. And it was Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, which describes Christ as he was going to the cross. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The Ethiopian asked Philip whom the prophet Isaiah was talking about. And Philip was ready. Philip seized this opportunity to use that Old Testament passage to share with him the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the meaning of the word gospel? The word gospel is from the Old English God spell, meaning good story or good news. Indeed, the gospel is the good news about Jesus taking our punishment for sin through his death and rising from the dead so that we can receive eternal life and salvation. As I'm running down Montgomery Village Avenue, and I'm seeing the people that I see, and I tell them, have a good day. I'm telling them, have a God day. The gospel is the good story, the good news of God, of Jesus Christ. Philip was ready to share the good news about Jesus. He had on the sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace, Ephesians chapter 6. He was ready to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we all need to be prepared to be listening to the Holy Spirit when he's prodding us to share the gospel with Christ with someone. I'll tell you how it is. It's just a little thought. It's just a small nugget. It's just a small little thing. A thing that we could just dismiss. All right? It's just a passing thought. All right? A passing image. You know, something was bothering me. I'm going to keep doing what I was doing in the first place. What was that? Oh, I got to get back to my focus. That little thing is the prodding of the Holy Spirit. If it's a good thing, if it's something where, okay, you need to encourage that person, or go over there, pat that person on the back, go in that direction instead of going in that direction, someone is there for you to share Jesus Christ with. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is the prodding of the Holy Spirit. Learn more and more to listen to those little proddings, those little urges, whatever they may be. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to share Christ with others. It's a great adventure. Well, when they came upon a body of water, the Ethiopian asked to be baptized, and Philip baptized him. Then something amazing happened. Verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. How'd you like that to happen? Philip disappeared from the Ethiopian's presence, and the Ethiopian rejoiced over his changed life. The Ethiopian was changed. As he was baptized, he was changed. He had a changed life. And that's what happens when we get baptized. We do have a changed life. God's favor rests upon us. Just as God's favor rested upon Jesus when he was baptized. This is my son, with whom I am well pleased. When we obey the Lord and publicly identify with Christ in this way, our life is changed. There's a new favor upon us. Well, Philip continued to preach Christ to the multitudes. God's kingdom advanced as Philip and many other disciples were led by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. I'd like us all to stand. The worship team could come. I encourage you to be led by the Holy Spirit. Young people, rather than being led by the evil influences of this world, be sure that you are being led by Jesus Christ. Rather than being seeking the spiritual power of this world and the magical incantations of this world and these spiritual type things. Be sure that you have the spiritual power of Jesus Christ. That is real power. The Holy Spirit that abides in you to guide you every day of your life and in every area of your life. Remember that whether you're ministering to hundreds or to just one person, know that the Lord is leading you. That one person is important to God. I encourage you to grow in allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you in sharing God's story, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we just come before you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would put in each person here, Lord God, a desire for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Father, if there is someone here that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, Lord God, Father, I pray that they would ask you today for it, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, for this empowerment. Lord God, I pray for those that have never been born again, that they would become born again today, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you have never received Christ as your Savior, just repeat these words after me. Just say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong things. And right now I turn from my way, I turn from sin. And I receive you, Christ, as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for taking on my penalty and rising from the dead. And of course, if you've never been water baptized, I encourage you to take that step as well. Father, I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray for empowerment over each one here, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that the rivers of living water will be flowing in each one here, flowing to bring healing, flowing to bring life, flowing to bring cleansing, flowing to bring empowerment, that the rushing water of the Holy Spirit Amen. Will be in each one's life here today, Lord. Yes. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.